What is up? Welcome to another edition of the NFL Fantasy Live Podcast. It's me, your man, MG Marcus Grant, alongside the Fantasy Hall of Famer, Michael Fabiano, the Fantasy Viper, Grant Barfield, still on vacation back next week. But Fabs?
So we've gone with Viper.
Yes, we decided to go to the Fantasy Viper.
I love it.
And it seems like the internet likes it so
That's
far.
Good. You know, yeah, I'm into it.
And the internet hates everything. So, yeah, it's a positive sign. So,
yeah, I like it.
Good to have you back.
Thanks, man.
Just in time for a lot of stuff to happen.
Too. Yeah, I know, right? The whole Zeke mess and Antonio Brown's nasty feet. I wonder if he posted it on Twitter. I can't see because he blocked me, but I saw it on IG.
I know he put it on Instagram, and when I first saw it, I'm like, it's like some sort of ancient relic statue. Like it was dug up in Pompeii or something.
It was
like,
gross, man.
Just, man.
You know, and we're going to talk about all this stuff, but like this preseason, we can't have nice things.
Nope.
We can't.
Nope.
Between Zeke and Melvin and AB's feet, it's getting to the point where I've grown a bit frustrated.
Yeah, it hasn't been great.
People are asking us, is Gordon going to play? Is Zeke going to play? What's going on with AB's feet? I wish I knew.
Yeah.
I wish I knew. I can venture guesses, but I wish I knew for sure.
Yeah, that's the thing. And I've started just kind of saying, like, look, I just don't know. You know, I can tell you what my opinion is, but I really just don't know. And so that's kind of the way I've looked at it. Plenty to talk about. We got some news headlines, of course. And the preseason for real gets going. You know, the Hall of Fame game was last week. But preseason week one hits starting on Thursday. So we'll pick a few games, kind of talk about those and what we are looking for going into the week. And Hard Knocks got started last night, too. So we'll talk about Hard Knocks Episode 1, some of the things that stuck out to us and just have a good time with
outside of AB's feet.
Outside of AB's feet. Mm-hmm. But there you go. So before we do all that, though, of course, we'll go behind the glass, as always, and talk to our faithful producer, Senior Edward L. Murphy, Esquire. Murph, what's up?
I was going to say, I am very excited to have Fabs back, and then he walks in the studio with a Cowboys hat on. But the one bright spot,
sorry,
though,
pal.
People are saying Zeke may not play week one versus the Giants, so that gives us a potential shot.
You better watch out for that Tony Pollard train.
Yeah, well, our chances of winning have gone from 2.5% to 5%, so I'm very excited
about
that.
By the way, Ed, how about our Yanks?
It's great.
Dude.
It's so great.
Boston's like 15 and a half games out. They suck. We kick their butts.
Yeah.
Four game sweep. Feeling good. And we still have all of these injuries.
No, yeah. Weird injuries. And we got bashed for not making any moves at the deadline. And we've been on a hot streak since then. So I'm quite pleased.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Every time I hear about the Yankees, it is. All I hear about is like the guys that are hurt. Like, I feel like you guys don't have any
so
guys
weird.
I have never seen anything like this. And I'm not even just saying that because I'm a diehard Yankees fan. I've never seen a team go through so many injuries to so many prominent players and still succeed like the Yankees have.
Yeah, we'll get into Hard Knocks later, and they showed a bit about like the trainers, what they deal with on a day-to-day basis with like the coaches and making sure mm-hmm. the players do treatment. It's like if you're the Yankees like training staff, I don't even know what must be going through your head or like your job security, because like getting two foul balls in a row off the same spot in your kneecap, like how do you even prevent stuff like that?
I know. It's unreal.
Man, I always say when it comes to like catchers, goalkeepers, it's just a special kind of person like that would put yourself purposely in the way of a speeding projectile.
Oh, yeah.
It takes a special kind of person.
I mean, and then Voit takes that ball off his like face, yeah, and like, oh my goodness gracious, it's just been unreal.
All right, welcome to Yankee Hour.
All right, let's
all
get
right,
on.
There you go. Okay, let's move on from that. And let's do some news. Well, we mentioned it. Ezekiel Elliott. There are reports out there saying that he will not play in 2019 without a new contract. There are other reports saying that the Cowboys have made him a, quote, generous offer. Now they're just waiting for him and his team to come to the table and see if they can work things out. There's still a large faction of, you know, of us out there who, you know, don't have any sort of inside knowledge, who still believe that these two sides will figure something out and that that Zeke will be there in week one. But Fabs, I mean, we sort of alluded to it. Like, we don't know, but you know, we still have to try to make a decision fantasy mm-hmm. draft-wise about what to do with Ezekiel. So as we sit here recording this on August 7th, 2019, what are you doing about Zeke?
I moved him down a few spots. So I put CMC and Kamara ahead of him. Obviously, Saquon was already at number one. And I believed a couple of weeks ago that this would be resolved and that he wouldn't miss any time. This is not the same situation as Le'Veon Bell. It's not the same situation as Melvin Gordon. Elliott is not slated to become a free agent in 2020. This is an odd scenario. And this August 6th sort of deadline came and went. And now we're looking at, is he going to miss regular season games? Are we going to see a repeat of the 93 situation with Emmitt Smith, where he missed a couple of games? And Tony Pollard's now moving on up. I don't know that he would be the guy. That's something that we need to watch when the Cowboys play in week one to see which running back or running backs gets most of the work. But I've started to become a little bit concerned, not only as a fantasy analyst, but also as a Dallas Cowboys fan, as you can tell by the hat.
Yeah, I'm still believing he's going to be there. And you mentioned the Emmitt Smith thing, and that's kind of the thing that I keep coming back to, right? Because Jerry Jones was still the owner there, and he sort of took this hard line back then about we're not going to pay Emmitt Smith. And then the Cowboys came out of the gate and they lost their first two games. And suddenly, Jerry kind of softened on that, and Emmitt got what he wanted, and he came back, and the Cowboys were good again. So I'm sort of believing that, especially, they've put out offers, to Zeke, to Dak, to Amari Cooper. And if I'm not mistaken, those offers would make them all top five at their respective positions. I think Zeke is looking for top three, and that may be what part of the sticking point is. Mm-hmm. But, hey, look, for all of you out there who are wondering and who are asking and who are tweeting, I understand the concern, especially for people out there who drafted Lev Bell last year and are afraid to get burned again. My answer to you is we're all sort of reading the same reports and reading the same tea leaves, and without actually being in the room on either side, there's no definitive answer. So
I will say this, because of the disrespect that these players believe is being had on the running back position, Gordon and Zeke, I mean, they seem like they're dug in.
Yeah,
they really do seem like they're dug in. So
yeah, and like I said, I still at this point, I think Zeke will be there before Gordon will be there, because I would agree. I think the Cowboys are more willing to pay him because I think they feel like they need him more. The Chargers seem very confident that they can go into the season with Austin Ekeler and Justin Jackson and not have as big of a drop off there. So I think the Gordon thing may go on for a while. I think at some point Zeke will be there in uniform. Antonio Brown, we talked briefly about it last week with Jake Seeley, but at the time it was just that, his feet were sore. It was day to day. He was sort of getting looked at. It didn't seem like it was a big deal. Now the report is he has frostbite potentially on his feet, that he went into a cryotherapy chamber and was not wearing proper footwear. Now, this comes like a week or two after. I don't know if you saw the video, Fabs, of him trying to catch a brick, like basically doing work with a brick with his hands, and was doing it in just a pair of white loafers. So apparently he's just decided to ignore proper footwear for working
apparently
out this offseason. There's a fine line to me between look, nobody questions Antonio Brown's work ethic. There's a fine line, though, between wanting to be like one of a kind and just be a little bit different, and then just making kind of poor decisions.
Being dumb.
And I think he's sort of crossed that line at this point. But I guess the bigger question is, how worried are we? Because he's not practicing. He's not working out. He's not on the field. I mean, I know he's good, but at some point, you want him to kind of get work with a brand new quarterback and a new offense.
Yeah, I mean, you hate to see him missing time and gaining and building that rapport with Derek Carr, because that's so important, not only for the Raiders, but for fantasy owners who draft Antonio Brown. They did show a little bit of footage on Hard Knocks of him practicing, and but they also opened the show with him working with a trainer.
Yep.
And the trainer trying to make sure that he didn't go too hard.
Trying to slow down, basically.
Because of the foot issues. And I do, in the back of my mind, I am a little bit concerned. He just got a gigantic contract. He got out of Pittsburgh. He got what he wanted. He got paid. And in the back of my mind, I'm a little concerned now. Boy, is he going to start breaking down? He got paid, and now this foot issue, which those dogs are... Those are some ugly, ugly dogs. and are we starting to see maybe the decline of the fantasy value of Antonio Brown? I hope not, I hope not, but this is certainly something to watch out for. And if you're concerned at all, there's Juju Smith-Schuster, who you can draft ahead of Antonio Brown. There are some other wide receivers who can go. Right now, I believe I have him right around 6 or 7 at the position. Haven't seen him drop in mocks at all. He's still a second-round pick, but something to monitor. And it's amazing. Three such big fantasy names. At least one in major question to miss regular season games. Another one now in a little more question with the Zeke situation and Antonio Brown with these problematic feet.
Yeah, that's and just, you know, look, man, he's a wide receiver. His feet are important.
Yeah.
You know, obviously the hands are important, but so are the feet, especially for a guy who really wins with speed and quickness.
Mm-hmm.
I know that the reports are that it's not serious. You know, I'm from California. I've never had frostbite. I don't know how it works or how long it takes to recover from. But, you know, we'll see what happens with mm-hmm. that. Andrew Luck believes he will be ready for Week 1. And this is the thing I talked with Jake about this last week. I've been on other podcasts and I've been asked about it and talked about it. Fabs, I know on the one hand, he and the Colts are trying to be cautious with this, whatever you want to call it, ankle, calf, lower leg injury, whatever it is that they're describing it as. I know they want to be cautious, but I feel like we're all sort of snake bit by what happened with the shoulder a couple years ago, where we heard Andrew Luck's going to be ready. He's mm-hmm. coming back. He's close. And then, you know, a year and a half, 2 years later, we're finally seeing Andrew Luck again. I mean, I'm not crazy for feeling this way, right?
No. Listen. We're all afraid. We're all scaredy cats in the fantasy football industry. When these elite players are coming down with frostbite in their feet and contract holdouts, and Andrew Luck, in his case, he's got the calf that's sort of been nagging him. And right now in drafts, it's like either you've got Mahomes and then you've got Rodgers, Luck, and Watson in some sort of order. So I moved Watson up. So I've got Rodgers, then Watson, and then Andrew Luck. So I moved him down one spot. I'm not going to move him down anymore until we get a little bit deeper into training camp and into the preseason. And we're hearing still that he's expected to be ready for Week 1. We'll sort of go from there. But it's sort of the same situation, whereas like every day we're looking to find out more information on what's going on with these players, including Andrew Luck. I'm not concerned about him just yet. And here's the good thing about the quarterback position. You can still get Andrew Luck, and you can insure yourself down the line in your draft and get Kyler Murray or get Lamar Jackson, and you're going to be just fine. So if, in a worst-case scenario, Luck does miss regular season games, you're going to be pretty much set at that position because it's so deep.
Yeah, I think that's sort of the fallback there, is that if you take a chance on Luck and it doesn't pan out after a few weeks, you can find a backup. That'll be okay.
It's not like getting like an elite running back and then you're like, oh.
And then it falls apart. Right, exactly. Yeah. I mean, part of me is just sad by this because I keep thinking he's going to be the QB1. And I'm still holding on to that. I still am holding on to that until I see something else that shakes my belief a little bit more. LeSean McCoy is being told in Buffalo that he is still, quote, the guy in the backfield. I mean, okay. they have loaded up on so many guys back there, and they have, I think they still have the oldest backfield,
Between him and Gore, I mean, that's 70 plus years old, right? Or at least close 70.
Close to it. Right? They added TJ Yeldon, drafted Devin Singletary. There are so many guys who can get the ball there, and then let's not ignore the fact that their best running back last year was their rookie quarterback.
Yeah.
So, I mean, maybe he is still the guy fast, but I feel like that's not worth a whole lot right now.
Yeah, I've been in a couple of leagues where I needed a running back and it was the 8th or 9th round and he was sitting there and I begrudgingly took him. But I do think Devin Singletary could end up being a better pick down the line in your redraft. We've been hearing reports that he is getting some work with the first team offense. We've also been hearing reports that TJ Yeldon's roster spot could be in jeopardy. He could be on the bubble. So the Bills may or may not keep all four, but I can promise you Gore's going to be on that roster. Singletary is going to be on that roster. It looks like McCoy is going to be on that roster. So even if Yeldon is the odd man out, I still say McCoy is going to be the favorite to lead this backfield in touches, but you're not looking at LeSean McCoy as the elite guy who's going to get, 300 plus touches. It's just not going to happen. And so I'm glad he's being told he's still the guy, but I just don't buy into it. I really don't. I don't buy into that.
I almost feel like that is something that's being said to him to keep him focused, to keep him locked in.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and whether or not that ends up being the case, we'll see. I mean, you know, and what's interesting is that if we get, you know, week three or four and we're starting to see a whole lot of other guys get the ball, and especially if the Bills struggle, you know, how interested will he be in wanting to be there and wanting to participate? I don't know. I think that's something just to kind of watch. Right now, he's coming off the board early ninth round, mm-hmm. which feels about right.
Yep.
Feels about right.
And at that point, you're really just drafting the name.
Yep.
Because you can't be expecting him to put up massive numbers. Hopefully, he'll be useful as a flex starter. And that would be a best-case scenario for fantasy owners, because I don't expect anything more than that based on what the Bills did in the offseason.
I mean, I'm looking at the other running back names around him right now, and it's, you know, it's Kareem Hunt, who we know is going to be suspended for 8 games. Mm-hmm. Royce Freeman, Ronald Jones, that we have no real clue about. Jalen Samuels, Damian Harris.
That's about right.
That's kind of where he is now.
Mm-hmm.
Man, life comes at you fast.
Yeah, man.
This hit Twitter a couple days ago. Michael Crabtree worked out for the Arizona Cardinals. I think the original report was that he was signing with Cardinals.
That was the first report, and then Rapp sort of reported that wasn't the case.
So he worked out for the Cardinals. They don't expect a deal. So at the moment, Michael Crabtree remains a free agent. But to me, this sort of signals a bigger issue with the wide receivers, right? I mean, we know Larry Fitzgerald's going to be there. We know Christian Kirk's probably going to be there. But now all of a sudden, for all these people who were taking dart throws at Andy Isabella or Hakeem Butler, even like, you know, I was taking end of draft throws at Keyshawn Johnson. Mm-hmm. This to me sort of says that they're not really confident in all these other young wide receivers.
It was strange, right?
Yeah. Because,
and you hear reports that Keyshawn Johnson has looked really good.
Right.
And he's moved up a little bit. You forgot to mention Kevin White, and I'm assuming you did that purposely, because
I've forgotten about
Kevin White being on the roster. So it was an odd report that, the Texas Tech thing, whatever, but I was surprised to hear that he initially had signed, which was false. And I was even surprised that they had brought him in the first place, because they're so loaded at wide receiver just with depth.
Right.
After drafting three guys, I mean, Keyshawn and Isabella and, of course, Butler, who was a fantasy darling during the combine and leading up to the NFL draft. So that was a bit strange. And from a fantasy standpoint, that would have not been a good move for Crabtree's fantasy.
No, I don't think it would have been. You know, like I said, it makes me wonder how they feel about these young wide receivers, and maybe extended what this means for Kyler Murray. I mean, the fact that he can run still gives him a lot of fantasy value, but it just, you know, it sort of makes me kind of look and say, well, if they don't feel great about their receivers, that does have a trickle-down effect at some point to the quarterback, too, and that's mm-hmm. that's something I think to keep an eye out on. Jerick McKinnon was activated from the PUP list. He actually has not been – it's been a full calendar year, I think, now, since he's been on the field for the 49ers, because he got hurt in training camp last year, missed the entire season. Now he is back. I would think, Fabs, he is sort of behind when it comes to working out. We know that mm-hmm. Tevin Coleman's going to be probably the lead back.
Yep.
Matt Breida is right now fighting to get some touches. So for now, I mean, I think Jerick McKinnon is the number three guy, but I guess that could probably change before.
Yeah,
we
I can. I've moved McKinnon down. I've moved Breida up ahead of him. I don't know. I mean, like, you could maybe make an argument that McKinnon is the fourth best option in that backfield. Remember, Raheem Mostert looked pretty good last mm-hmm. season. Jeff Wilson performed pretty well last season in short work. But right now, the player whose value is increasing the most is clearly Tevin Coleman, who has had his best fantasy season during his time in Atlanta with Kyle Shanahan mm-hmm. when those two were together. And Breida has moved up as well. And Coleman's been mostly durable. The two guys behind him, Breida last season, that was just a nightmare trying to predict if he was going to be active or inactive every single week. And of course, McKinnon missed all that time because of the knee. So Coleman's value has moved up, and we have seen running backs succeed in Kyle Shanahan's offense.
Yep.
We've seen Coleman do it. We've seen Devonta Freeman. We've seen Carlos Hyde. So there is some precedent there for Tevin Coleman, based on Shanahan's success with that running back position, to be a pretty valuable flex starter in 2019.
Yeah, I think the thing about this is it's making me sort of feel a little bit better about how I prioritize 49ers running backs, because mm-hmm. I think, you know, a month or two ago, I was so confused. I think we were all so confused. We were just kind of throwing our hands up and trying to figure out what it is. Mm-hmm. As we've gotten into training camp and we get toward the preseason, it looks like things are starting to clear up a little bit. And I think that's sort of all we really want. We just want a little bit of clarity because that helps us.
Yeah, because we have a lot of just ridiculously unclear situations right now.
Yep.
So
yep.
It would be nice to be able to get some clarity on this. And that hopefully is coming in several backfields.
Yes.
I mean, because there are a lot of backfields right now that we have no idea what direction they're going in. Philadelphia, Washington, San Francisco, although we think we're getting some clarity now. There's a lot of backfields that still need to be sorted out before we get into week one.
Yeah, absolutely. So that's, speaking of which, we're going to do some preseason talk in just a little bit. But in the meantime, that's pretty much everything you need to know.
That was the news.
As I mentioned, preseason week one kicks off on Thursday. I guess last week is technically like week zero or something like that.
Yeah, it's like the appetizer.
Right. Which
it's the preseason appetizer.
Which, yeah, I didn't know about. I knew about week zero, like when it comes to high school football. I think high school football has week zero. In fact, I remember one year when I used to call a lot of high school football games on radio when I lived in Fresno once upon a time. Mm-hmm. And one year there was a week double zero. And I'm like, okay, this is just kind of,
yeah.
now we're getting silly here. Okay. Yeah. So last week was, I guess, preseason week zero Hall of Fame game. This is week mm-hmm. one. Handful of games on the slate. I just picked out a few of them to talk about some things that I think are interesting that we all want to keep an eye on. First one, the Jets at the Giants. A little shameless self-promotion. That game is on NFL Network Thursday at 7 p.m. the Eastern, which means for those of you on the West Coast, you'll probably be at work and maybe you can sneak and catch a little bit of the beginning there. But the big thing here, Le'Veon Bell, we finally get to see him back on a football field. Now, we may only see him for like a series or something like that. But I'm just curious to watch him in this offense, one, just to see how he physically looks and that sort mm-hmm. of thing, but to see him in this offense, how much he gets the ball, where they're lining him up. There's so many questions about Lev Bell, and I think, this is a chance to at least begin to figure out some of the answers for him.
Yeah, no doubt about that. And Lev Bell has a place in my heart after the last couple of weeks with his social media posts in terms of he had the Star Wars post. I'm mm-hmm. like, oh, Star Wars. Okay, that's cool. And then he had the post apologizing to fantasy owners who drafted him last season and also told people that I'm going to bring you a championship in 2019. Mm-hmm. I have him ranked fifth at the running back position. Volume is king in fantasy football. He is going to see a lot of volume. And what could be an improved Jets offense, I think Sam Darnold quietly is going to end up being one of the better deep sleepers in fantasy football. We started to show flashes last season. Now he's got a lethal running back in Le'Veon Bell who can not only run it successfully but catch it as well, a guy who's had seasons with 80 or more receptions. So I'm starting to get excited about him. He lost a little bit of luster because Pittsburgh's offense was just so ridiculously right. good. But, the Jets offensively, they could have a little something going on there.
Right. And you mentioned, obviously everybody knows his ability to catch the football, but mm-hmm. those guys around him too. I mean, the Robbie Anderson, mm-hmm. Quincy Enunwa, Jamison Crowder there, who has had apparently a pretty good camp there.
When they get Herndon back from the
right.
suspension.
They've got guys who can catch the football. So this is an offense I think that's worth keeping an eye on. I mean, we're not that far removed from everybody thinking, hey, never Jets in fantasy drafts. Mm-hmm. It's a different group now.
It is. And I think that offense is going to be one that we're going to be watching in the preseason very closely. Buffalo is another one mm-hmm. because they could sneakily have some, Josh Allen.
Yep.
John Brown potentially could make an
impact. John Brown's a guy I've been trying to get him, but he always seems to get sniped just before.
A late round, John Brown's a guy who can stretch defenses and be a weapon in the vertical pass attack, and Josh Allen has that big arm.
Yeah. So and also real quick on the Giants. I just want to see who's going to catch the football there.
I know, right?
Right? I mean, Golden Tate's suspended for the first four games. They've got injuries all over the place. I just want to know who's going to be there to catch the ball.
I'm telling you, everything I'm hearing, Evan Engram is looking good.
Yeah.
He's looking good in camp. Evan Engram is, if I haven't mentioned, he is the first active player who's going to be in the NFL Celebrity League, and he's already talking trash which has been a lot of fun. he would get out of camp practice and do a little video and talk trash to myself and Miz and some of the other people in the league. So that's going to be a lot of fun. I'm interested to see if Evan drafts himself in the first round.
I mean, look, we work with Maurice Jones-Drew. And
who did that?
He said he would always draft himself in the first round. So,
But Evan is moving up. I mean, like, he's a top five tight end, no doubt about that. And he's going to get a lot of opportunities. And you know who else has reportedly looked good in camp is Eli Manning. I'm not going to draft him. Sorry, Eddie. I love you. I'm not going to draft him. But, you know, he's got Daniel Jones hot on his heels. Maybe Eli.
Maybe that's the motivation. Huh?
A little motivated, Eddie. You know?
Always got to be worried about the youth.
Look.
I'm trying to give you at least a little bit of, you know, reason for optimism.
No, I know. I think Evan Ingram's going to have a great year. The thing I do worry about is if Eli shows his age and they make a quarterback switch, then the numbers could struggle there. But I don't know how excited I would be to draft pretty much any Giants.
Saquon and Ingram, I think.
Well,
I
mean, assuming if you don't have the first or second pick.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, because if
you don't have the rest of the draft,
if you don't have like a, you know, top one or two pick, you're not getting Saquon. So.
Yeah, exactly. So I don't know how confident I would, you know, Sterling Shepard. Coleman's out now, but Shepard with the injury, and then you have like what else? You have a receiver. Golden Tate may miss a couple games, mm-hmm. and you know, if Ingram, I think he could suffer. Like I said, if Eli shows his age,
who's their two right now? Like if Shepard's their one and he's hurt, like who's their two?
There's the other Shepard. There's two.
Oh,
Shepherds.
Russell Shepard.
Russell Shepard, yeah. And then they Latimer, got, like, Cordy Latimer.
Benny Fowler. They got Darius Slayton. I mean, like, it's...
It's slim pickings.
Yeah.
It's slim pickings.
it is thin.
Absolutely.
It is thin, yeah.
Next game on the list, Jaguars at Ravens. I mean, for me, it's just the Lamar Jackson showcase, right?
All about Lamar.
I mean, we've heard so much about his work this offseason, about his progression. You know, we know that they're going to be a run heavy offense, mm-hmm. but I just want to watch him and see what he brings to the table this year and how that impacts everybody else around him. The receivers, the tight ends, mm-hmm. you know, Mark Ingram and the guys in the backfield. I mean, it really is just about him, I think, in this game.
And right. And we know what he can do with his legs, and the comparisons to Mike Vick have been out there for
since
a year
day
plus,
one, pretty
right?
Much.
Exactly, since he entered the league. I want to watch his accuracy. I want to watch how accurate this guy can be in tight windows. I want to see if he's improved in that aspect of his game. We are talking up Mark Andrews big time, and for good reason, because mm-hmm. he's looked great in camp. He could end up being one of, if not the favorite target for Lamar Jackson when he throws the football, but. Jackson, and we're going to talk about him a lot in fantasy because running quarterbacks can win you championships. And this guy is not getting drafted in the first 9 or 10 rounds.
Right.
And he could end up being a top 10 fantasy quarterback. And if he can get it done with his arm, look out.
Yeah. You know, it's funny because I think he's one of those players where I think the disconnect from analysts versus, you know, folks who are drafting, especially people, you know, look, I understand that this is the time of year a lot of people start kind of cluing back in and start tuning back into fantasy football, that, you know, people who don't live this all year long. Mm-hmm. And I think they look at what he did last year and it, you know, look, numbers wise, it doesn't blow you away. And I think the disconnect between that and the folks who've really been kind of watching this thing and are analyzing it, because if you look at fantasy analysts on fantasy Twitter, there's a lot of excitement about Lamar Jackson.
Yep.
I don't think the two have meshed yet, and it could happen. And if he comes out and he plays well, especially against the Jaguars defense, I think you'll start to see that excitement go up a little
no
bit.
No doubt about it. No doubt about it.
Texans at Packers. Matt LaFleur. We get to see the new offense, right? I mean, look, last year, I think I wrote about this last week when I was hyping Marquez Valdez-Scantling. I think I said Mike McCarthy's offense was blamed for everything short of climate change. So now McCarthy is gone. Matt LaFleur comes in, and he's got his brand new offense that is hopefully going to save the world or at least boost Aaron Rodgers' fantasy production again this year. I mean, that's kind of it. I want to see that. I want to see who the bona fide number two receiver is after Davante Adams? Like, you know, where those ball, where those targets are going? Is it Valdez Scantling? Is it Geronimo Allison?
Right.
You know, I just want to see everything about this Packers offense because, you know, we know when it's right, there's a lot of production to be had.
And the backfield as well. You know, yeah. Aaron Jones, a lot of us, including myself, expecting to have a breakout season, but Jamal Williams performed admirably in his absence last season. Jones, I'm not saying he's injury prone. He's had a couple of nicks here and there. That's a bit of concern to see if whether or not he can actually be a featured back at the NFL level. He has certainly shown that he's got the explosiveness to be a very valuable fantasy player. So that is a player that certainly we're going to be watching as well in the situation that we're going to be watching, because you've sort of seen and heard conflicting reports about whether or not LaFleur wants to use both backs or potentially use Jones a little bit more as more of a featured option. So we will see what happens. A lot of question marks there in Green Bay. Two guys that aren't Aaron Rodgers and Davante Adams.
Yeah, I mean, those guys, we know
pretty solid.
We know who they are. We know where they're going to get drafted. Everybody else is still up for interpretation. Mm-hmm. Chargers at Cardinals, another game on NFL Network. That one will be Thursday at 10 p.m. Eastern, or probably right after Jets and Giants ends, in case that one runs long. We know how that usually goes. Look, if Jaguars at Ravens is all about Lamar Jackson, Chargers at Cardinals, it's all about Kyler Murray. It's all about Kyler Murray.
I missed a couple of casts, but like I moved him up to eighth now. I can't stop moving him up.
Wow.
I'm having a problem. I need therapy. I moved him to eighth now. I moved him ahead of Cam. I moved him ahead of Russell Wilson. I don't know what it is, dude. Like, inject that Kyler Murray into my arms,
apparently.
Boy. Because I am addicted. And I am in a guillotine league draft with you, by the way. This is going to be a lot of fun. And I drafted Kyler in that league. Great stat here. Since 1999, we have seen five rookie quarterbacks finish in the top 10 in fantasy points during that first season.
Okay.
All five either rushed for over 500 yards or at least five touchdowns. And Kyler Murray could do both.
Marcus. Okay, so wait now.
He could do both.
This is since when?
1999.
Okay, so I'm trying to figure out who the five would be, right? Cam Newton's got to be one.
Cam Newton's one of them.
So these are guys who can run since 1999. Rookie quarterbacks. Let's see. Well, Baker Mayfield didn't get in the top five last year.
No. You got to think rushing.
Yeah,
you got to think rushing.
I'm trying to think. Who?
Think. I mean, if I give you a hint, you're going to get it. Baylor.
Oh, Robert. Hey, RG3.
Okay.
So that's two.
Okay.
I'm trying to think who else is
I know Russell Wilson.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Okay. And then this one you probably have forgotten on purpose, subconsciously, because you don't want to mention his name.
Who, Tim Tebow?
No, being a USC alum.
Oh, is this a wait? So it's got to be like a USC or a UCLA quarterback? Quarterback. It's got to be Vince Young.
Vince Young. That's right.
Ugh, yeah, you're right.
But I mean, like,
Vince Young was so good when he first came into the league.
But here's the thing: like, any one of us think that Kyler Murray can't rush for 500 yards?
I think that
most projections have him rushing for over 500 yards. Yeah, be surprised if he rushed for, this is a guy who rushed for over 1,000 yards and 12 touchdowns last season. And I get it. College is much different than the pros, but that's his skill set.
No, I think 500, that seems like a solid number. I think that might be even the floor for Kyler Murray in terms of rushing yards. I think
it's an interesting little trend.
It is the passing, you know, and look, we talked about the Cardinals working out wide receivers. That's where I'm like, I want it to be so good, but he's got to have guys who can catch the football.
And another one too. No rookie quarterback in that time who has rushed for at least 489 yards has finished worse than 11th.
Okay,
that was Russell Wilson. Hmm. So, I'm telling you, listen. You know, Dave Damashek says, "Hear me now, believe me later." Kyler Murray is going to be a stud. Okay, maybe he's not going to be Patrick Mahomes. Maybe he's not going to be Aaron Rodgers or Deshaun Watson. He's going to be damn good.
Right.
He's going to be a guy you're likely starting week in and week out during the course of that fantasy football season. He has got that kind of ability.
So we get to see the first look on Thursday night. The other thing about it, obviously Melvin Gordon's not going to be playing for the Chargers. So whatever split there is going to be between Austin Eckler and Justin Jackson is going to be one to keep an eye on. How those guys get used, I think, in that game is something interesting to pay attention
to. Yeah, because remember, we got all excited about Eckler last season when Gordon went down. But Eckler was kind of eh. And Justin Jackson looked pretty good.
Right.
So But the good thing about Eckler, so he is now a seventh round pick.
Mm-hmm.
But he could have standalone value even when Gordon comes back. So, yeah.
Yeah, and I think we saw that a little bit last year, too, that even with Gordon there, Austin Eckler was still worth having on your on your fantasy roster. Bucks at Steelers, another NFL Network game, Friday, 7:30 Eastern. I want to see what Bruce Arians is bringing to the table there in Tampa. You know, we're still trying to figure out what Jameis Winston is exactly. I saw a tweet earlier this morning suggesting that he might check down more, which that doesn't excite me at all. You know, but
especially with the running backs they have right now.
Right.
Watch Andre Ellington like be awesome for like the first 3 or 4 weeks in PPR,
which is going to really just mess everything
up.
Watch
that.
I mean, you know, look, everybody is figuring out if Ronald Jones can actually produce something, whether Peyton Barber is going to hold on to his number one role.
Mm-hmm.
And Andre Ellington can come in and just mess the whole thing up. Yeah. Also, Chris Godwin, who is everybody's every favorite analyst's favorite new player.
He is my Kyler at wide receiver.
Yeah.
I dig him so much, man.
So
the schedule's favorable for the Bucs pass catchers, the offense. I mean, they have the most available targets in the league compared to last season's roster. Everything screams Chris Godwin breakout season.
Yeah.
Everything screams it. Hopefully he's not another Kurt Darrell Patterson. I don't think he will be.
No. I mean, he has a different skill set. I wrote about him last week when I was basically...
Well, remember how much everyone loved Kurt Darrell, including myself, and then he sucked?
Yeah. I wrote about him in the undervalued guys that I wrote up last week. And I will say that I remember Chris Godwin a couple of years ago, his last year at Penn State. They played that Rose Bowl game against USC. And that's the game everybody remembers as the Saquon Barkley, breakout game. Mm-hmm. Before his final year there at Penn State. It was Saquon Barkley. It was Sam Darnold leading a comeback, throwing 5 touchdowns in the game and leading the comeback win. But one of the things I remember was that Chris Godwin was just unreal in that game. And Trace McSorley was kind of scattershot with some of his throws, and Godwin saved him with some just ridiculous catches. He and Mike Gesicki saved Trace McSorley with some ridiculous catches in that game. And at that time, everybody talked about Saquon, understandably. I walked out of there thinking, man, that wide receiver they got is also really, really good. So we'll get a chance to take a look at him coming up this week. Rams at Raiders. These two teams are actually practicing against each other this week, which is going to be kind of fun and interesting. But you have a good question here. Will the Darrell Henderson hype reach a new
Marcus,
level?
Eddie, I'm telling you right now, if he busts a run.
If he has a big run.
If he catches one out of the backfield and takes it to the house. If he starts showing a little, little elusiveness, that home run ability he showed in college, averaging almost 9 yards a carry. Fantasy Twitter is going to... Beep! It's pants.
It is going to explode.
Okay? And it is going to run roughshod, okay? It will be ridiculous if he has one big play, if he has a couple of plays where he shows that, because, let's be honest here. If Henderson ended up, say, with Tampa Bay coming out of the draft, he's the number one rookie in fantasy football. He is. He's ahead of Josh Jacobs. He is. He just is.
As you were talking, I'm thinking about runs that made fantasy Twitter lose its mind, and the first thing I did, I pulled up Amir Abdullah, and I'm not saying that Darrell Henderson is going to be Amir Abdullah, but it just reminded me of times where you're watching a preseason game and a guy does something and everybody just goes insane. In fact, I remember you were doing your Celebrity League draft that night, and I was hanging out in there with our old friend Alex Gelhar. And I think Michelle Beadle was actually on the clock.
Beadle.
And we were trying to convince her, hey, you got to get this Amir Abdullah guy. And she's like, I don't know. And Alex pulled up his phone and pulled out that run. And she's like, okay.
And, I'm in.
And drafted him right there on the spot. So,
wow. Yeah. But I mean, because that's part of like the fun of this time of the year, being a fantasy analyst or a fantasy enthusiast, is that, you get to really like watch some of these young guys get out there and show what they have. And Henderson's been so hyped already. He's a 6th or 7th round pick.
Yep.
He is a backup running back.
Yep.
A backup running back, 6th or 7th. He's never played a regular season game in the National Football League, and he's a 6th or 7th round pick as a backup running back. It's insane.
I mean, I just look. This is. I think part of it is everybody's sort of. I don't know if it's Henderson optimism or Gurley pessimism.
It's
probably
both.
A combination of the two.
Mm-hmm.
That has sort of driven this price, and it's just look, because we are not going to know anything about Todd Gurley until week one. That has put Henderson's price at a premium.
It's, yeah, it is ridiculous.
Last one on our list here. Cowboys at the 49ers, NFL Network, Saturday, 9 p.m. Eastern. I promise that we didn't pick all NFL Network games. We have some that aren't, you know, going to be straight. I think, I think at some point all of these games will probably appear
exactly
on NFL Network, but they won't necessarily all be live on NFL Network. Mm-hmm. But Cowboys Niners, that's live on NFL Network, Saturday, 9 p.m. Eastern. And we talked about it kind of at the top of the show. I mean, what is the rotation?
Who's getting the ball?
Who's going to get the ball with Ezekiel Elliott not there? Yep. That's just what we're going to keep an eye on is who is it that takes the lead, you know, in the event that Zeke isn't going to be there in week one.
I mean, you know, so Pollard's there. Mm-hmm. You know, they drafted Pollard, drafted Weber. You've got Darius Jackson there. And then let's not forget the recently signed Alfred Morris.
Yep.
So that addition, I'm like, man, I mean, right now, most people are pointing towards Tony Pollard being the guy who would take over if Zeke does miss regular season games. That's just depressing the hell out of me. But anyways, this is something that you really need to watch throughout the preseason. As long as Zeke is holding out, who is getting the ball in that Dallas backfield? Yeah. Because no matter who it is, if the Cowboys decide to go with one back as the featured option behind that offensive line, I get it. The player's not going to be good as Ezekiel Elliott. But if you look back to the DeMarco Murray days and even like Darren McFadden, the Cowboys have always had a really good running back from a fantasy perspective. And I don't know what you're going to get. If it's Pollard, if it's Jackson, I'm not sure. That's what we need to find out because, God forbid, Zeke is out week one, week two. Somebody in that backfield is going to have a lot of fantasy value.
I'm sort of laughing because I can just imagine like all the people who drafted Zeke. And if he's not there like in week two, dude, all that Lev Bell panic is going to start to come back.
So in the Scott Fish Bowl, I think I was second overall, Zeke.
You took Zeke.
And then in the second round, Gurley.
So it could either be great or it could just completely implode on you.
And in the third round, Antonio freaking. And when I had those three guys as my top
you
three
felt
picks,
great.
I'm like, son of a, this,
you
oh,
felt
man.
Great.
It's the biggest boomer bust of all time.
Now I'm like a holdout and frostbite away from having the worst team in that entire league.
Could you imagine that? Like a year from now saying, man, everything would have been great for my fantasy team except Antonio Brown had frostbite. Like, okay, this is, I'm just thinking about this just kind of off the top. Like, yeah, we're all baseball fans here, right? And I feel like baseball has had sort of the history of maybe some of the craziest injuries. You know, I go back to John Smoltz apparently burning himself because he ironed his uniform while wearing it.
Yeah, for that.
Jeff Kent got hurt washing his truck, allegedly.
Yep.
What was it? There was a player, I think, for the Orioles that got trapped in a tanning bed or something like that. And
wait, that's like from Final Destination. Yeah. Somebody died.
Yeah.
Like, got trapped in a tanning bed. But if Antonio Brown misses time because of frostbite, like, that to me is right up there with all these other things.
What's funny, too, because, like, you do that, what is it, cryotherapy to, like, help your body. Like, we saw it in a bit of Hard Knocks, like, how hard he was trying to practice. Like, the guy cares about it. It's one thing about, you can say what you want about Antonio Brown. Like, the guy is committed.
Yes.
And that guy's going to work, like, outwork anyone. And he's trying to, like, preserve his body and make sure that he is fresh and ready to go. And that, is it what's going to end up potentially hurting his season is, to me, like, the ultimate ironic thing to happen. But yeah.
One of the football injuries that I remember most because I was watching the game was, remember Bill Gramatica?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, oh, celebrating.
Cardinals kicker nailed a kick, jumped up in the air, celebrated, and blew out his knee.
Dope. Yeah, that was like early in the season too. It wasn't even like a big game. It was like a week two or three game or something like that.
That was not good.
What scares you more with that team, that trio, is like the return, the guys returning from an injury, like a Gurley or a Brown, or is it just like the Zeke, the holdout? Because in my head, I think almost I'd be more excited for Zeke. Cause I think that he's a better chance of coming back and being a bigger impact than the other two.
I have less concern over Zeke because I still do in my heart feel like even if he misses, you know, regular season games, it's not going to be a lot.
He's still 100% ready to go. The other guys, you don't know.
Right. Exactly. I mean, you know, you got questions about AB still, you know, aside from the feet, getting the rapport going with Derek Carr, the downgrade from Pittsburgh's offense to Oakland's offense. But who knows? Maybe Oakland's offense is going to be tremendous and Derek Carr will be a great sleeper. Derek's a good dude. I hope he is. And Gurley, I mean, honestly, like, and I have been the guy who, like, at the end of the second round, if he's there, I'm taking him because I want to hit the home run. And you know what? If I strike out, I strike out, and I'll have to make up for it. And there'll be guys on the waiver wire that I can potentially pick up to help me out a little bit down the course of the season. But I just – I can't pass on him at that point. I just can't. Maybe Henderson being there is going to be a good thing because you're going to be able to get a guy in there who's going to spell him. Who he's not going to have to touch the ball 375 times. And every time he gets that team into the red zone, he's going to get the football. Gurley is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I still have I'm cautiously optimistic about Gurley, especially for the price that I'm paying right now, which is a late second round pick.
Yeah, which I pulled the trigger on him late second round a number of times, and I feel okay about it.
Oh, here we go. Marty Cordova burns himself while tanning. Marty
there
Cordova.
It is.
That's
there it
who
is.
It was.
I knew there was like an Orioles player, and I couldn't think of the name. So there you go.
GTL, man.
Yeah, except when you tan too much, apparently. Hard Knocks came back into our lives last night, episode one of Hard Knocks with the Raiders, which, look, this one promises to be a great season. There's just too many characters involved for this not to be a great season. And so I put a list together of just some of the things that I thought were interesting. Antonio Brown's arrival, which we sort of knew about, but to watch him like load up the hot air balloon and just like fly over the Napa
Valley. Have you ever been on a hot air balloon?
I have not. Part of me is... Look, I don't love heights necessarily,
yes.
And it's not so much being high up, because like I can fly in an airplane. It's not a big deal. It's being high up and moving slowly like that sort of freaks me out.
I don't like heights either, and we did this a couple of years ago, and I may or may not have taken an Ativan, okay? Because like I mean, like, dude, this is. It's this much like basket or padding or whatever that's between you and certain death.
Right.
Okay. That's it. And that's what freaked me out the most. And I don't love heights either. It was cool when I got up there. When I got down, I wanted to go to sleep because I was so tired from
from being nervous.
Well, that and the Ativan. But it was a cool experience. But I don't think I could have done it without. You know, a little help.
Yeah, I just, you know, I mean, good for him. It's one of the things that I'm sure I could be convinced to do, but I wouldn't just immediately. It would never be something that I would suggest doing on my own.
Mm-hmm.
That and him, AB at camp and his kids asking, where's Roethlisberger?
I know, that was funny. That was funny.
You know, why don't you play for the black team anymore? And where's Roethlisberger? And him trying to explain that he plays for the Raiders now.
Still
and his quarterback
still
is
their black
right,
team.
Right, still the black team. Yeah. And you know, Derek Carr, although he called him Derek Carter.
Right.
The kid calls him Derek Carter.
Yep.
Was his quarterback. I thought that was fun. I didn't have this on the list, but I just thought about this. The conversation that James Jones had with AB, where they talked about Matt Schaub versus Derek Carr.
Oh, jeez.
And that Carr comes in and is playing well in practice, and that he comes in and plays well in a preseason game. And just at one point, James, you know, who is a colleague of ours, a really good guy, kind of gives AB just this side eye that says, you know, we knew that Derek Carr was going to push Matt Schaub out of a job. Was fun.
Matt Schaub was a top 10 fantasy quarterback at the height of his career. And then towards the end, he was the guy that you would stream defenses against because he was like guaranteed to throw a pick six.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, he kind of became a meme almost, you know,
he was a pick six machine, dude.
Like, I feel like the first pass he threw in Raiders camp when he got to the Raiders was a pick six and Twitter went wild with it. Like when it happened, Jonathan Abram, the rookie safety who apparently, you know, never met a guy he couldn't hit.
Dude, he's a character, man. He is a character, dude. Yeah.
He is very much a character. I loved him, basically telling Derek Carr, he was going to order everything on the menu.
Yeah. And then telling Gruden, you can't cut me.
You can't cut me. I was like,
I'm a first round pick.
Like, man, I mean, like, he's not wrong, but
that's like,
man.
I mean, that's like, you know, coming in and telling, you know, Goodell, hey, man, I just signed a big contract here. You can't get.
You can't fight.
Yeah, that's.
You can't really suspend
me. Bold. That's right. Grapefruits right there, dude.
Yeah, man. I thought, like, man, that's. I looked at it, I was like, he's not wrong, but. Man,
that's inside voice, Jonathan. The inside voice,
right? Like in your head voice, man. Like, you know, I mean, him just like putting out on Front Street how much Derek Carr makes and like how you can buy this and that. I'm like, man, like, all right, like he's gonna be that guy that tells it like it is, and it's like, I feel like as long as he's playing well, people will accept it. He will, you know, He won't make a lot of friends if he's not playing.
Yeah, and
well.
By the way, go on social media. There's a video of Abram being interviewed by, I think, Andrew Siciliano and Steve Smith. Mm-hmm. And Steve Smith, you know, this guy is a bit of a character as well. We work around him. He's a great guy, but he will tell you how he feels.
Steve does not pull punches.
Mm-hmm.
He does not pull punches.
Yep, and he's been known to throw a few.
Which makes for great conversations, and he does. He has one with Abram that is worthwhile. Mm-hmm. And he's sort of, you know, trying to let the rookie know how things are.
Yep.
Now that he's in the NFL.
Yep.
Cleveland Farrell on a horse. When they went out horseback riding, which, you know, led to a lot of Old Town Road singing and country music singing. But watching this, you know, enormous guy try to get on a horse, and like I say this as somebody who I think in my life I have ridden a horse maybe once, so I'm not, you know, going to sit here and pretend that I'm some sort of cowboy or anything like that. But it was fun to watch this gigantic man try to find his way on a horse and figure things out without without falling apart.
Wouldn't you be like so, as a coach or like a GM, or like so afraid of your players doing that?
Yeah.
That's the first thing I thought of. It's like, I sound like a whim kind of saying like, oh, it's probably just a smaller horse that won't really do anything. It just kind of walks at a slow pace. But you never know what a wild animal could do.
Just take over.
Yeah.
I thought that too, actually, that like, I'm sure that, you know, Mike Mayock is watching this and probably not all that.
The fourth pig overall. Right. Yeah, like, this is just like buck like, once, he falls over.
Mayock's reputation is like on the line with this dude, basically, because no one saw that coming.
Sure.
And yeah, he gets bucked off a horse and, you know. Thank God that didn't happen.
You know, it's funny. There's a guy that played in the NFL for a while. In fact, I think he played for the Giants. Bear Pasco.
Was like, oh, right.
Yeah, Bear Pasco. I remember Bear Pasco.
So I actually watched him play in high school, and he played at Fresno State when I lived in the area. And he, you know, in high school and in college, he was a rodeo guy. Like he was like a bull rider sort of thing. And that was one of the things that when he got to the NFL, the league, the GMs, the coaches were like, yeah, you got to cut that out.
Sure.
Yeah. like whenever you're done playing, you can go back to it. That's fine. But as long as you're under NFL contract, you can't go bull riding or anything like that. So I think he actually has gone back to doing rodeo again since he's out of the league. So the last one, John Gruden, who, his opening statement on the show basically was like, everybody has dreams. Everybody dreams of playing in the NFL, dreams of winning a Super Bowl. He's like, I'm all about nightmares.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. I'm about nightmares. I'm about you taking somebody else's dream away from them. I get the feeling that for all the stories we hear about John Gruden being a little bit psychotic, like, we're going to actually see it for real now.
Yeah.
I hope. Like, I thought that we were going to see, like, this crazy older Gruden, but he's morphed into, like, this 2019, which is smart. Because you have to be more of a player's coach, and you have to be less, I guess, crazy as he was. But, like, I would, like, that opening speech was great, but he just seems to, like, get it now more. Like, he's more, like, he relates to players more and wants to, like, make sure everyone's, like, comfortable. He was, like, no rookie hazing, all that kind of stuff. So,
yeah.
I guess, like, not that I'm saying he's wrong. I was just shocked that it wasn't like the Gruden that we remember from, like, you know, a decade plus ago.
Yeah, yeah. You know, times have to, like, people change with the times,
yeah.
Right? So I guess we're going to see. And, you know, we saw very little of Mike Mayock. In fact, I don't think he actually spoke any words.
No.
We just saw shots of him, but he didn't actually say anything in this episode. So I would think hopefully next week we kind of get more in the front office side and hear from Mayock a little bit more.
Yep.
That's going to be interesting. I mean, we didn't even get to you know, they touched on Richie Incognito a little bit. We didn't see anything from Vontaze Burfict, who is a Raider now.
Yeah.
So we still have characters to introduce.
Dude,
here,
I mean, like, yeah, Incognito, Burfict. I mean, AB, they got a lot of guys, and I'm waiting to see obviously Josh Jacobs just because I want to watch, you know, some footage on him because everyone is so high on him in fantasy football.
I want to see some interaction between Derek and David Carr too. So I'm biased towards David, who works with us.
Right.
I want to see them together, just throwing the ball around. I know that word in the street is that David has his own key card to the Raiders facility. So I'm hoping episode two.
Wow.
Yeah, we could go. We see him up there and hanging out with the guys in Napa.
Also,
speaking of Napa, the aerial shots they had,
beautiful.
I'd never been up there, but it's like how I wouldn't be able to focus on football.
I know, right? It's like if you go to Pepperdine.
Yeah.
Malibu. It's like, how the hell do you go to class?
I've always wanted to go to class. I'm like, I don't know how people go to class at Malibu.
Another dude to watch is Darren Waller. He's starting to pick up some steam in fantasy circles as a late round flyer, as the projected number one tight end there for the Raiders. Maybe we'll see a little bit of him as well.
Yeah. So that we got a lot of stuff to watch. I mean, this was just week one. We didn't even talk about the fact that the guy from Last Chance U, like, didn't even make it through a full episode.
I know, man.
That was so, like, sad. He, like, didn't care.
Yeah,
so
I wasn't sad. I was like, well, dude, man, I mean, you don't want it bad enough.
That was, like, literally the next time that Gruden got fired up was like, if he doesn't want to be here,
yeah,
like, just let him go.
Exactly.
Right. Yeah. So,
so before we head out here, we are back on digital starting Monday. August 12th.
We are back on your computer screens, mm-hmm. With a bunch of shows. But we're doing Monday through Friday for the next couple of weeks.
Yep. And then we start on the network
September 2nd
live
on
3
Labor
p.m.
Day.
Pacific.
Yes.
Right into TA, which is a very big deal for us, and we can't wait. And also, if you haven't looked yet, the new app. Go check it out. Go download it. Sign up for your fantasy league on NFL.com. The app's got some really cool stuff. It's not like anything that you've seen before. So
yeah,
make sure you check it out.
I mean, shout out to Michael Koval and
the
building and his team, because they've been working on this thing for a while now.
Yep.
And we love what they've done with it. They've done a great job. Mm-hmm. So yeah, shout out to them. Go if you haven't downloaded it already, I mean, I'm not sure what you're waiting on. Go do it, because it's pretty good.
And watch the shows starting next week. The gang's all back.
There you go. With looking forward to that, too. It should be a whole lot of fun.
Yeah.
So there you go. That's it. We are done. As always, we appreciate you listening. You know the drill. Tell two friends to tell two friends. Rate, review, and remember, when you say you want to be somebody, you should probably be more specific. We'll see you on Monday.